Now, the House GOP members want to stop. Some of them are talking about introducing legislation that would stop the compulsory defense cuts if the super committee can't agree on its own cuts. Where does that proposal stand at this point?
Well, that proposal is on the back burner, and the Republican leaders don't want to admit that they would even think about backing out of the automatic cuts known as sequestration. Otherwise, there's very little impetus for the members of the supercommittee to reach a deal. And so the Republicans who are talking about this are longtime, or maybe not so longtime, allies of the Pentagon and defense spending, and they say what Leon Panetta says, and that is, if these cuts go through, you would effectively hollow out the military. This group also has a strong ally on the super committee. Senator John Kyle, Republican from Arizona. From the get-go, he threatened to quit the super committee because he thought that he threatened to quit the super committee if the Democrats wanted to put any more defense cuts on the table. So that view is represented to some extent in leadership, since Kyle is the second-ranking Republican, in Senate. However, right now the talk of undoing the cuts, undoing the automatic sequestration process, those views are really in the minority. And for one thing, if Congress were to wriggle out of these cuts, out of these penalty cuts, then you would certainly, there's a high likelihood that you would see a credit downgrade from Moody's or Fitch's or Fitch ratings, that they would follow what Standard & Poor's did this summer with the credit downgrade. So, right now it's looking somewhat bleak whether the super committee will get a deal or not. But the thought is, well, as long as Congress doesn't rule out the cuts, then we won't see the extreme market reaction that we saw in August.
And isn't it also true that this possibility exists, that the super committee will come up with something, but it would be voted down by Congress? Then what would happen?
That's a possibility. That's actually, I think, seen as less of a possibility. The way this thing is set up, once the super committee reaches a deal, if it reports out a deal, then the package would be fast tracked on the House and the Senate floor, and it would only need a simple majority to pass the Senate floor, and that's a very unusual circumstance. It makes it much easier to get something done. Whatever's going to come out of the super committee will have to be bipartisan. So I think it's going to be very difficult for a majority of lawmakers in either chamber to vote against a bipartisan package that reduces the deficit. And at this point, it looks like it's going to be a modest $1.2 trillion package. For lawmakers to vote against a modest bipartisan package to reduce the deficit when we have a $14 trillion debt, I think would be politically indefensible. So I don't think we're likely to see that. But you're right. Both chambers of Congress have to ratify this by December 23rd.
We're talking with Alexander Bolton with the Hill newspaper. There's that area, that window of limbo between when the CR expires and when the supercommittee comes back with its recommendations. Does that mean there's going to have to be an extension for the CR? But then how can they do that? Because they don't know what the committee is going to cut. You know what I mean? There's a weird 5-day period in there. How are they going to handle that? Or do you not have a crystal ball?
Well, the spending levels for the year were set in August when Congress passed the compromise to raise the debt limit, and the spending levels were set at $1.043 trillion. So the spending levels have been set. So yes, the CR will expire on the 18th of this month, but that's not the main event. Everyone's looking towards the super committee, and it'd be a little bit silly to have a big partisan blow up over a stopgap spending measure days before the super committee is to report its findings. Number one, it would distract from the work of the super committee. Number two, it could undermine the work of the super committee by charging the partisan atmosphere anymore. And number three, the leaders of both parties have already agreed on the spending levels. When they made the deal, when they set the deal in August. So there's not much reason to relitigate it. Yes, there could be a conservative Tea Party revolt in the House, something unexpected like we saw in September. But just like in September, that was resolved fairly quickly and easily. So I don't think it's going to be a major problem.
Now there was that brief. Almost deal or proposal yesterday where the Republicans appeared to give some ground on revenue or tax increases. It went nowhere. Where does that leave us? Is that a sign of the next couple of weeks?
I think what we're seeing now is both parties are trying to they're playing the spin game. They're playing the blame game. And the Democrats came out with a proposal about 3 weeks ago where they offered $500 billion in cuts to Medicare and Medicaid. They offered to reform the payment of Social Security, cost of living adjustments. They also proposed $1.3 trillion in tax increases. So the Democrats, they conceded ground on entitlements, but then they in their offer they put a big poison pill, or what Republicans viewed as a big poison pill, and that's the $1.3 trillion tax increase. And so, by making that offer, Democrats can make the argument that, look, we're trying to compromise, we're willing to give ground on entitlements. But Republicans say that, it isn't an honest offer because it has that tax component. But nevertheless, Democrats were able to argue for the last 3 weeks that, look, we're willing to compromise in good faith. The other side is intransigent. And right now, it seems like it's a political game where both sides are trying to paint the other as less compromising, less reasonable. And so yesterday was, or this week has been what you could call the Republicans' counteroffer. They're saying, okay, well, we'll give you $300 billion in new taxes, which you want, but the price for that is we're going to lower the top income rate and we're going to lock it in, make it permanent. And that's something that Democrats can't accept. That's the poison pill embedded in the Republican proposal, and that's why it went nowhere. But at least it enables Republicans to argue, hey, look, we gave ground on taxes. You can't call us unreasonable. You can't blame us if this thing fails.